Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
And now, two guys who know that Delta 8 is not a flight number. Chris and the Riz.
Hey, hi-de-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 408. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit, and we are talking about Lions rookie camp beginning. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my, I don't want to say effervescent again, my glorious, slightly allergic, but always beautiful co-host, Jeff the Riz Rizden. How you doing, brother?
I am suffering through an allergic reaction to a substance that I don't want to touch again. I learned that I have a new allergy, and we talked about it off the air, and we'll talk about it in the Slack, the Patreon Slack, best Lions chat on the internet. You can find out what I'm allergic to that I found out this week in the Slack. So, that would explain why my right eye is puffy and weird. And, if I took my shirt off, well, first off, you'd be shocked at how much I've let myself go. But second, also, you'd also see a nice little rash on me too.
You're working on here. He is. This is Jamal Williams abs coming this year. Hard Knocks. You watch him. The two of them will be comparing. All right. We got a lot to talk about. Riz's predilection for allergy is for Slack. We'll probably have Riz's allergy channel or something like that. We're going to talk about off season phase two. A lot of talk about that. We'll also talk about phase three, which is also known as OTAs, and we'll get you to get up to speed on what that is, what's involved, why, what, and who, and how. We'll also talk about rookie minicamp, get you prepped for that. We're going to cover Dan Campbell's coach of the year odds, info about the schedule, all that, and a whole lot more. Riz, we've always got a great show lined up, and this time it's no different. Are you ready to go, my brother?
Yes, dude.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, here we go. Let's do this. We are into it. First topic of the day. A couple of good ones. We'll start with the schedule.
There's a lot going on for a weird week in the NFL calendar.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is, and it is a very, very weird week. Let's talk about this. Let's take a look. Schedule, big deal. A lot of people talking about it. It's a big deal, and for me, because I'm going to base a lot of travel around it. I'm going to come up to the city of Detroit. I might be heading to some other cities. Interestingly, I'm in the New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia kind of area. The mothership is where I work, and there's, you know, I can work flights out. I'm like, wow, there's two New York games away. And I was like, Philadelphia too. And like, oh, that's an away game, but I don't want to go there. Who cares? I'd spend time in the jail.
It sounds like there's a fair chance those New York games might be back to back too.
Ooh, if I were to schedule a week there, wouldn't it be smart to schedule right between those weeks? And I have a friend who's a Giants fan up there too. So that's
the Lions may or may not have requested that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with it. I don't know that for sure, but I have heard through a few grapevines that that might be in the works.
It's a real interesting kind of a deal. At what point are they not an away game? Like when you're staying there, right? I mean, will they be able to find practice space in the area? Will they? I mean, how acclimated? I mean, I'd assume they would fly back and forth, but if you can eliminate the travel and get the team.
I would think so. You know, that is one of the things that like the 49ers or the Seahawks will do if they're playing New York and Philadelphia or Washington, and they'll just stay. Yeah. I know what team was it? one of the teams rented out Hofstra University for like a week. They rented a dorm and they used their football facilities to stay there for a while.
Yeah.
And like hung out with the football team. It's a good idea, you know, and I think back to the Texans when they had a Western, they were playing the NFC West one year and they stayed in Portland because they played the 49ers one week and the Seahawks the next week. And they didn't want to fly back to Houston, which that's a long way. Yeah. So I kind of get that. But Detroit, you know, it's not that it's what an hour, 45 minutes to fly from Detroit to New York.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. Easy, I mean, easy. Maybe you want to save on jet fuel. I don't know. Prices are kind of high.
Yeah. Hotels are cheaper for 53 plus than the cost of gas and the jet to round trip there. Yeah. No. Right.
Not so can you explain? OK, because I am flabbergasted that the schedule release gets so much freaking attention. It annoys me to no end that people are on pins and needles about the schedule. Now you have a valid reason for wanting to know the schedule, and I want you to preempt me in my little like tirade on why it is in fact important.
You're not wrong. It's
the bullshit.
It's a lot of talk about something that's a long way off. Am I even going to buy my plane ticket the day after? No, but I want to start making some plans and doing some stuff.
But you do go to road games. Like last year, you went to Los Angeles. Yeah. I believe you went to Atlanta as well.
I didn't get to.
You were going to. Yep. Yeah.
Came over to Detroit for a couple games, though. Did the thing, you know. Had tickets for Baltimore and what was the Thanksgiving game? Yeah. My brain is addled today. Anyway, I gave him the family and stuff like that.
And for like our friend Q, who travels around and goes to road games, like it's important to know when the schedule is.
Q not only does, Q's a season ticket holder from Atlanta and flies up for every game. And I there's a couple of people like that. And I just want to say you guys are superheroes. You guys are awesome to do that. I wish I was at a point where I could do that. You could always use the super chat if you wanted to help me do that. But I was at a point where, or Patreon, I could do that and I would enjoy the hell out of it. I would absolutely love to do that. It's just not where things are for me, but that's a dedicated person. And he did it during the Patricia years and didn't stop. And so you talk about, I mean, I always tell people, you know, when I tell my friends I'm a Lions fan, it's like, oh boy, wow. And I'll give them the, hey, but you know, it's just proof that you're a real football fan, right? You know, that's just what it is. If you're a Lions fan and you stuck it out and you're out of town when you could easily jump on the Rams bandwagon or Tampa or whatever, it's like, yeah, I'm a real football fan. Maybe it's the opposite. Watching the Lions isn't necessarily watching real football, but or hasn't been, but you really know somebody likes football when they're stick with a team like that. And really tell you, man, it's one of those things. And guys like that, they can put the money where the mouth is, even in those times and come up. I mean, Q not only does that, he's up in training camp. I see him every year at training camp. We hang out. He went to Miller's, remember? My guy, he's a vegan.
Great dude.
He's like, oh, I have some fries.
Maybe he's probably watching.
Yeah.
What's up, bro? Yeah, he's a fun one. But so I understand why those of you who travel to games get excited about the schedule. For me, I don't go to games. I'm technically credentialed and could go to games. It's easier. It's a lot easier for me to work from home. I just work better that way.
You were pandemic ready before the pandemic was cool.
I really was. I will be going to the Thanksgiving game this year, and don't believe the NFL schedule leaks Twitter account because they're wrong. They are not playing the Commanders on Christmas. They will be playing either the Bills or the Dolphins on Christmas because it's a CBS game and it has to be an AFC team that's hosting, or that's the rules of the broadcast. So it'll be one of those teams. I don't really care. It'd be kind of fun to watch the Lions beat up on Tua, especially after how badly he's underthrowing Tyreek Hill. Did you see that video, by the way?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill had time to pitch a tent waiting for that throw to get to him. And it's like a 35-yard throw.
But that's the last thing you're going to do when you see a ball thrown like that near the receiver. You are not pitching any tents. I tell you, though, you're going to Thanksgiving. Let's get the Rizins and the DLPs together. Let's have a good time. And
we'll have to do that. Sure. My wife has her family is primarily based in the Plymouth Canton area.
Yep.
We are responsible as our unit of the family for hosting Thanksgiving this year, so we're going to do it over there. I will graciously escape from my in-laws for a while and go to the Lions game.
yeah.
But so for like the general populace, though, like if you're if you're sitting at home watching every game every weekend, why the bleep do you care who they're playing when? Like, you already know all the home opponents. You already know all the road opponents. Like, I don't understand how the NFL market, and I'll give the NFL credit, they do a fantastic job of doing it because it's an event. Everything that I write about the schedule gets massive clicks this week. It's bizarre to me that people care that much about the sequence of games when they already know the opponent. Yeah. Like, some of the teams don't know who their starting quarterback is going to be yet, but we're gonna get that schedule. Like, oh my God, we're going to play the Bears in week one instead of week three.
I'm going to tell you the thing that
I don't get it.
The NFL has figured out is how to be a hell of a marketing organization. And they've taken 16 weeks of football and made it a year round. I mean, they have a month and a half that's effectively off all year. That's pretty good. So good point here from Jean-Paul Morrison. I do like the way the schedule's done this way. It's nice to reward the guys that spend weeks and months who do put the schedule together. So yeah, it is a good way to celebrate their work.
And the schedule release videos and things that the teams do are incredible. It is one of the highlights of the year for me to look at all those, even the teams that I don't care for. Like, I'm like, wow. So, some of the creativity that goes into those it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's a chance for them to flex their muscles on that. So that's cool. Like, I get that, but I don't understand. Like, if you're never going to go to a game, I don't understand why you're so enthralled with the schedule. Again, the NFL, I'm not going to chip at them for doing it. It's amazing that people care as much as they do about the list of the sequence of games. But
so with that, I've got a couple of the leaks that I'm not afraid to report, and I'm going to put them out there. Week one, Lions at the Bears. These are rumors, just to be clear. Week three.
And that rumor, by the way, comes from the Bears people, not the Lions people.
Yep.
The Bears people who are leaking that are generally pretty reliable folks.
Yep.
Week
three, Vikings at the Lions. I hate starting the season at the Bears, to be honest with you. I really do. We did that.
It happens a lot.
It's when the Calvin Johnson rule.
Yeah, I remember. So that's typically right around my birthday weekend. And I for my 34th birthday, which was a hell of a long time ago, I went to the Bears-Lions game at Soldier Field week one. That was the first time I ever had press passes for a game.
Yeah.
Got Lions
at the Patriots for week four. And I got it. My brother lives in New England. I have to figure out if can maybe work. So I'm going to be doing a lot of post game shows, by the way, on the road this year on the fly. But we've got some plans for that. The games that I go to in Detroit, we've actually got a secondary studio that's in the works. What's up, Micro Mike? Good to see you in the chat, brother. And then week 12, we got Thanksgiving. Potentially, I mean, they say the commodes at the Lions, but it's a CBS game, so it could be Miami, could be Buffalo. We'll get some information. But I have one here that's really big. This one is a lock, and you guys get your money on this one. February 12th of 2023, the Lions versus an AFC team in Arizona. There you go. All right, and thank you, T-Branch72 from the subreddit, because the people that were listening got that. Chaos aspect seems to affect the early results of games more than later games. That's very true. I think this is a bad year for the Lions to play the Bears early. I'd love to play the Pack early this year, because I will take that chaos. Jean-Paul Morrison again.
And also keep in mind, we should have injured folks back, but like Jameson Williams might miss week one.
Yep.
Jeff Okuda, I would be surprised if he missed week one. But theoretically, he could miss week one. You know, they might not be at full speed yet. So, yeah, it would be a little bit better to get a division game later, but it's okay. It's the Bears.
Let's see. We just went football two, content two. We got Mike.
What's up? I will share this. I was on 97.1 in Columbus this morning, not the one in Detroit, but the one in Columbus with Bobby Carpenter, former Lions linebacker, and a co-host this morning. You can check it out. I tweeted out the link to it. It was a good visit. But I always talk to Bobby after I'm done. In the commercial breaks. And one of the things that we talked about was one of the questions he asked me was like, you know, he talked about the turmoil that's going on with the Vikings having new, you know, general manager coach and the Bears making transitions as well. And he's like, Lions are the second best team in the NFC North, right? And I'm like, well, I kind of waffled on it because they could be. They maybe should be. But then I talked to him off the air and he's like, yeah, they're good. He's in on Dan Campbell, and he is in on what the Lions did specifically offensively, adding Jamison Williams. He's very excited about that. Yeah. Very excited about it.
Garrett Schaffsma. I'm pretty sure that Chris is an alcoholic. If anything, I'm a binge drinker, bro. I haven't drank for days. I'm actually got water right now, but you know, that's cool. That's a different kind, I guess. Let's see. Mike is here. There's a couple things I wanted to get. Post game, Chris live from his rented car. That was last year. That was after the win over Minnesota. My voice was a little bit like today. Today it's different. It's not from screaming. I jacked myself up. I worked. I was in meetings, bro, from 8 to 5:45. No lunch, just straight talking and bussing butt and brain. And I'm like kind of throttled. Micro Mike, you're on, bro. We'll go to a game. I'm down. I'm all up for a game. What's up, Riz? Also from Micro Mike. Why do we always play the cards? Do we both just keep finishing and are the same? Yeah, that's what happens.
Yes, we do.
Landing in that same crappy place. I am so sick of the cards. I need no more Cardinals in my life. But luckily this year, we don't have them. But we will be playing in Arizona at that stadium. What else do we have here? Jeff, wherefore art Romeo Okwara? Let's talk. We'll get into that. We're going to do some
we will.
Injury stuff in a minute. I'm just trying good to catch question. Up on this chat here because a lot. It's going nuts. You guys are great. I'm going to hit this. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. Let's go. We got this. Let's get into our next topic. Okay. Couple of things, pieces of the Lions roster information. And again, I'm sorry, guys. My brain is just cooked today. Waiver claims. Chicago, we don't care about them. Green Bay, we don't care about them. Jacksonville takes Rashad Berry, linebacker from Detroit. And we've also
got for the Lions last year.
Yeah. And we also got New England Patriots take Matt Sokol, the tight end from the Lions as well. We've cut two people and somebody else picked them up. Boys, we're winning. We're winning. There's roster people from the Lions roster that other teams want. This is like a first in a decade.
Who of the six that we cut this week? And technically, Steven Montez, the quarterback that we cut, was cut today. So he's not technically eligible to be claimed until tomorrow. I would be stunned if anybody claims Steven Montez. But think about this, too.
Quarterbacks are way too valuable. Somebody will grab him.
Rashad Berry got claimed by the very first team that can claim anybody. The Jaguars, the waiver claim order is the same as the NFL draft order until week 4. So right now, the Jaguars have the top waiver claim. The Lions are sitting at number 2. So if they want anybody, if the Jaguars don't claim them, the Lions can claim them, and it's theirs. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who else puts claim in.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that Berry got claimed by the Jaguars and Sokol got claimed by the Patriots, because Berry came to us from the Patriots and Sokol came to us from the Jaguars, from their practice squad. It's a little strange, but it does say. And Sokol's a Detroit native, and he played at Michigan State. I've actually had interactions with his dad online. His dad is good friends with Scott Bischoff, friend of the show.
And
talks with him a lot. And I'm happy for Matt. He was signed to a future reserve contract this offseason. They had 9 tight ends earlier this week. They cut Jared Pinkney as well, waived him with an injury settlement. Which means that he won't be back. And they're down to 7 now. They'll be down to 3 or 4 before too long. But yeah, it's cool to see
Rashad Berry going right away like that. I mean, that tells you that our linebacking core is just top shelf.
It does. And the other thing, he can play tight end too. Yeah. And was actually drafted as a tight end, or not drafted, but went through the draft process as a tight end and did get some work in practice last year as a tight end for the Detroit.
Yeah. So there we go. We got that rocking and rolling. Good moves. I mean, look, if people are picking up Lions players, that's a good thing.
You can check it out. Why they were cut.
Really quick. I want to really quick say, if you want to get more on that before we talk about it and beyond what we talk about, go to lionswire.usatoday.com and check out the article from a guy named Jeff the Razor, I think is his name. Oh, Risden, that's his name. Okay,
that's me.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. I wanted to do a plug for you first.
No, that's good. I appreciate that. So the reason why these guys were cut this week was because they didn't have enough room to sign anybody who's going to be there this weekend for the rookie mini camp. They only had four open roster spots after they drafted. They were at 86 people. That's counting roster spot commitments to all the players that they drafted. They only had four spots. Now they've opened up quite a few more. So they have several tryout players. They have several workout players this weekend who are there. I want to say that there's going to be 23 people there working out. And like they signed. So we talked about last week, the four that they signed. If they wanted to sign anybody else, they would have had to cut somebody. Well, they preemptively did that this week by cutting all those people. And look, I wish Rashad Berry, I wish Matt Sokol, I wish Steven Montez. You know, I wish them well. I hope I
catch up with that.
It tells you that if the Lions are capable of cutting players that other teams find useful, means we're doing pretty good in the roster construction business.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Man. Okay. So what else have we got going on here? A lot of stuff going on, churn on the roster, people picking our people up. That's good news. And if you think about it, you want to look at another big piece. Dan Campbell's odds to win coach of the year seem to have skyrocketed in the last week. Is it because we ejected the right talent? Is it because the other teams decided to pick our talent up? Or is it because we had a heck of a draft and Dan Campbell is starting to win over some real believers in the NFL? Riz, Vegas doesn't lie. Vegas makes money. They don't lose money. And they went from, what was it, 60-1 to 25-1 in a week?
Last Friday at Caesars Sportsbook, he was 60-1. And so a little peer behind the veil here. I get probably 30 emails a day from various gambling institutions with article ideas.
And so sadly, I have to get you a phone number.
because I work for USA Today, we are contractually obligated to only use Tipico Sportsbook. So I can't technically write about what Caesars and BetMGM and all the other places send me, even though you can't use Tipico in Michigan. Or most states. that is going to change soon. But so I had to write this very ambiguously. But the guy from Caesars, and I think his name is Rick, and he emails me daily, different updates on what's going on. He's like, you've got to cover this one. I don't care. You can leave me out of it. He went from 60-1 last Friday to 25-1 this week. And he has three times more tickets put on Dan Campbell to be the coach of the year than any other coach at this point right now. That means there are three times more bets on Dan Campbell to win this coach of the year award than any other coach. Now, some of that was the fact that he was a good value, relatively speaking, at 60-1. That's going to cool off at 25-1 because, it's just, you're not going to make as much. Yeah. If you're looking for the big payout, if you're dropping $100 on this, you'd rather have 600 in return than 250. I get that. But it also does reflect what Chris just talked about the surge in the team's profile, the addition of two premium talents in the first round, the perception around the league that, hey, you know what? Dan Campbell knows what the hell he's doing. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't there a year ago. And, it's, I don't want to say that the Lions are that team, the vogue team to like, but with Hard Knocks coming up, with the draft that they've had, with the positivity that's surrounding the team, it's not dissimilar to what I saw in Houston. And I've talked about this before, back when in the Arian Foster, JJ Watt years, when they were rising up, you could feel it. They were oh, they're going to be good if a couple of things really happen. And they did, by and large. They could never beat the Patriots in the playoffs. But Matt Schaub was sort of where Jared Goff is. I don't know about Matt Schaub, man. He's okay. He had a phenomenal year one year, and it turned into a great thing for Houston. And they rode that to being a playoff team for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I get such similar vibes from this Lions team. If Jared Goff can be what Matt Schaub was in 2013, this very well could be a playoff team.
I have not written off Jared Goff yet. I have not. No, and I know a lot of people have.
Nor should you.
This year will be important. I acknowledge he very well. And this is, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I understand this is a little bit of a limb. He very well could be the Jared Goff that took the Rams to the Super Bowl. That player could still be in there. We have to wait and see. He didn't have the talent around him last year. There was no real opportunity to evaluate him. So we'll see. We'll see what he is. I believe he can be a great quarterback again. And I think under this regime, with these coaches, with these players, the
Ben
right
Johnson,
kind of environment.
Ben Johnson is going to make such a difference.
This environment is going to be really, really, really good.
I still need to see it from Goff, but I'm certainly not writing off the chance that he can prove it. But right. He absolutely can.
Yep.
But he needs to before I'm there.
MCDC's been winning people over since he talked about biting kneecaps. You know what? That put a spotlight on him for sure. And a lot of people laughed at him and love to laugh at Detroit. They love to do that. But who's laughing now? We'll see. It's he put the spotlight on himself and he's won people over. It's another thing to put the spotlight on yourself and then really show yourself to be a fool. He did the opposite of that. Good move on his part. He is as much of a hype guy and a marketing guy as Brad Holmes. He just does it completely differently. I will say this, you know, especially from his Texas roots. This is a saying, and this is not at all meant in a derogatory way. Dan Campbell is dumb like a fox. People underestimate this guy by a mile, and he's a really, really smart guy. So
that's a different conversation I had with Bobby Carpenter when they first hired him. It's like you're seeing this was right after the kneecap press conference,
yep.
And he's like, Dan's setting you all up. He's got you right where he wants you.
Love
like,
it.
Like, okay, buddy, I trust you.
All right, Garrett, we can be, love you, Chris, we can be alcoholics together. And he fixes it with binge drinkers. I got you, buddy. We can be together. I'm done with that. I'll see you at the training camp party, I think. That's where we can do it. We got a lot of stuff going on, including maybe I'm getting my tat. Ash is probably getting his
liver already.
A couple days before. Fat Guy 40 at the training camp party, just so you guys know, we're doing it then because the rain out at Senior Bowl hurt us, but we're going to have a good crowd, have some fun with it.
It never stopped raining, Chris. It never stopped raining.
It didn't, but we stayed outside. All right, what else? William said the S word.
Talked to Andrew Berry for half an hour in the rain, baby.
Yep.
That was fun.
Yep, that's right.
He's like, why are you here? It's like, why don't you have an umbrella?
Rob Swift, does Jesse Lemonnier make the team and push for a starting job? We'll talk about that a little bit. We will talk about that a little bit. I did one thing. I want to talk about some feedback I got about pumping on the likes and that kind of stuff. I hear you guys. So we do have to do it a little bit. So I'm just going to, we'll handle it a little lighter this time. Hit the like button. So I don't have to harangue you guys to hit the like button. And we appreciate that because we do want the help on the algorithm. It means a lot, especially as we're heading into these slower times. We need your help to pump this up and keep us going as the summertime hits, because without it, things peter out and maybe we do too. I don't know. It's after a day like today, I just want to take a nap.
My peter is never out.
Well, that's a problem.
It didn't come out right.
All right, let's talk about offseason phase two. Let's talk some real football now. We've got, what is offseason phase two? Well, the CBA has workout rules, and there's three phases to the season. Phase one is the first 2 weeks of the program, limited activity, meetings, strength and conditioning, physical rehab, that's it. Okay. Not a lot of reporting coming out of Allen Park or any of the training locations.
Just as a point of reference, the media is not allowed for that.
That's what I was saying, but without.
Yeah.
I wasn't putting a sharp edge on it, Jeff. Phase two consists of 3 weeks of a program. It's on-field workouts that it could include individual or group instruction and drills, perfect play drills, drills and plays with offensive players lining up across from offensive players and defensive players lining up across from defensive players, and it's all happening at high speed. No, a walkthrough pace. No live contact, no team offense versus defense drills are permitted. That's where we are right now, and that's the guys we're talking to in the press conference today, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Rookie camp starts here tomorrow. That kicks off. We'll get into that a little bit. I'm going to leave that for the next topic. I want to talk about phase three, though. Because that's what I think the next jumping point is. Phase three is the last 4 weeks of the program. It's conducting 10 days of organized team activities, also known as OTAs. No live contact, 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11 drills are permitted. So you guys know where they're at and what they're doing on the field, what they're talking about. When you talk about Jamal today, he wasn't hitting anybody. He wasn't lining up across from any defensive players or anything like that. But it's still good work. We talk about like installs, things like that, Riz, right? And that's where some of the conversations I think that we heard about the playbook, the language, some of those things happen. And I'll pass the mic to you because I know you've got a lot to say here.
Yeah, you're learning the verbiage if you're a new player coming in. You're learning they're just basic install stuff to get you back into like thinking about football, because if you're an NFL player at this point, you've probably been working out on your own pretty hard, but taking a little bit easy too, you know, relax, recharge the battery, make sure your knees are healthy, your feet, your shoulders, that you're good. This is a little toe dip back into the pool of like, yeah, I do play football for a living. This is like, it's kind of changed over the years. Like I remember like when we were kids, Chris, there was a starting outside linebacker for the Cleveland Browns who sold cars in my hometown in the off season to make money like that. Like, and he had to crash course like training camp to get into shape.
Right.
Like they don't do that anymore. They don't need to do that. Because
if you ever worked in the car sales business, there is nothing that leads you to be in shape there. And there's a whole lot of alcohol involved.
a lot in the car business. Yeah. I worked in that for 5 years, traveling from dealer to dealer, helping them make more money off of you. Training camp has changed a lot, and it is a lot of it is players, you know, that just want to like get used to the coaches, get acclimated, meet their teammates, hang out with the guys, get away from their families after being with them for 3 months after they hadn't seen them for a year. That's a very different dynamic that I don't think enough people appreciate. You've been away from your wife and kids, or your wife and your girlfriend and her kids that might be yours for a long time. And then you're with them for a while and like, why am I here? I need something to do. Get me out of this place. I need to go play football. That's what I do best. So they do that. That's why it is all voluntary, but most guys are there, and you know, it's kind of a cool experience to just get back and, you know, see what's new in the building, you know, get your locker and just get used to being back with the guys.
Yeah.
And you meet the rookies, they come in, they're all there this week. And you know, you're meeting Aiden Hutchinson, you're meeting Jameson Williams, you're meeting Malcolm Rodriguez, he's really gonna be popular with this fan base, I can tell you, Chris.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I want to, and there's something else that happens. And I told you guys, I promised you guys a video on this. I'm gonna drop the video the week that we don't have a show. Because I think that's, I don't want to leave you guys without content. That you guys love it. And I know we need a break. We haven't had a real break since we did our 24-hour show during the bye
week and
missed. But I mean, it's been since last summer that we've missed a week of doing this. So, we got like 3 weeks that we're going to shut off. And now one of them comes here the week before Memorial Day. Worry not, we will have content. I think Riz will probably have a video he puts together. I'll have one together. We may have some more as well. So I'm going to do a leadership video then. But one of the things that's happening in these meetings going on right now is establishing the tone for the team for the year. You heard him talk about it a little bit in the interviews today, and we'll talk about it when we talk about those. But they were talking about who's the core. Well, the people that are in the core are there. The core are there, and they're establishing what that core is and what the center, point of the compass is. You heard a lot of guys suddenly talking about a ring and going after a ring and having to believe you have that ring. Do you think they all thought of it individually? And I'm not saying they're not smart guys. Don't get me wrong. This is part of the mentality and the thinking that they're building in their core in these meetings right now. So you'll hear a lot of the football stuff, but there's a lot. This game is as much mental. I mean, the Wonderlic for the quarterbacks, you think about how smart guys are, how much you think about how intelligent players are, how good they're. That part of it is really on display right here. And watching these guys come back and learn about what they plan for their team's story for this year. And every year a team has a different story, that different vibe, and they've got a lot they built on last year that they're carrying into and building from for this year. And this isn't, you know, a sequel. This is the next chapter. So just so you guys know, this is what we're talking about, what they're talking about in those rooms, and what you're not probably hearing in any of the other coverage that you're watching or reading or hearing or whatever. Right. All right. And we'll get into that. Like I said, the leadership piece I have coming up is going to break down an evaluation of the team's leadership, how they approach it, and some of the things that really kind of identify how they're doing it. So there you go. Let's see. Jim and Chris, did you know the Babe Ruth bowling ball's in the Hall of Fame? If you haven't been, you should both go. I was there when Sosa McGuire was going at it. Sure, their name might. Okay. Never be on a plaque, but their story is being told. Cool. Thanks, Rod. I appreciate the baseball reference.
baseball. Like, so I was out yesterday, out and about, and I watched, the Tigers game was on. I can't say I was watching it. There was maybe 500 people at Comerica Park yesterday, and the weather was freaking gorgeous. Mm. Like, y'all, I don't know how baseball's going to continue like that. I just don't.
No.
And to be fair, like, I used to be huge into baseball. I actually have 4 credit hours from Ohio University that said I took a baseball history class, and I got an A in it when I really needed an A. I was once upon a time a member of Sabre, and now I couldn't name 3 Tigers. I know Miguel Cabrera, and I don't know. Yeah. That sport is, it's so far off the radar for me now, but the history stuff, like I would love to go to Cooperstown. My aunt is a massive baseball fan, and she goes like 3 or 4 times, like a decade. She's gone to induction ceremonies, and it's really cool. And if I ever get a chance to go when a player that I liked a lot will be there, I would love to go to that, but I haven't, like, I don't do baseball anymore. Yeah.
It's funny, in the 90s, the strike in the 90s lost me on the game.
That hurt me.
I have not returned. I've gone to a couple of games because it's fun to go to.
I will go to games, yes.
I didn't watch.
I've been to Comerica Park in the last couple of years. I like going to games, but I will not watch it. I will occasionally listen to it on the radio just because it tends to be good radio.
All right, Lobato out of doors checking in from California. Love the show. One pride. Have you checked out Grizzly Man Outdoors? Make sure to like and follow that one. Let's see. We got, hey, Don H. Thank you. Just got here. I'm the only number 59 of the people who hit the old like button. So he's got it. Don is running the old
I like that
for us. Thanks, brother. Yeah, please do that. All right, all the guys are athletes. Mindset is the differentiator, and this is so important, right?
Yes, it is.
And it's kind of like a triangle of leadership, the football, the X's and O's, and then the player, the mind of the player. And those three things are what really have to come together to build a team. And you really kind of rolled right into my thinking there. So I don't want to give too much more away. All right, we'll keep rolling here. God, a lot of stuff going on in the chat. Hey, love the trolls. You guys are beautiful. All right, so phase 2 is going on. We have rookie mini camp coming up. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about some of the players. We've got Jeff Okuda. Obviously looking a lot better. His social media is out. He's moving really well. Doesn't move like he was injured. Doesn't look out of shape at all, like he's got to come back. It's now kind of rebuilding that muscle memory and a lot of that stuff, and kind of tweaking that. You know, professional athletes, it's interesting. The difference in their bodies that top 4% makes, how hard it is to get to that very to get 100% of a pro level athlete. That top 4% just drops fast, and you need the reps, and you need the time, and you need the practice. That's why those guys are out there, right? I mean, you've played football since they're 5. Why would they need to practice? They know what they're doing. It's to get that sharpness to the very peak of performance, and that's what it looks like Okuda's working on right now, Riz.
If you want an example of that, look at what's happened to Odell Beckham over the years. This guy was a phenomenal receiving superstar in New York. He hasn't practiced in 3 years with his various injuries, and it shows.
Yep. And that's one of the things, like, all the stuff around Kaepernick aside, right? All the stuff around, the fact that he isn't on the field is an anchor that he's got to drag, because it's just going to be, and now his age, but it's just going to be so hard to come back. How he got to the point of not playing, whatever, right? I'm not addressing any of that.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact he didn't play, the longer that happened, the very, very less lower
chance. It's so hard to get back into the football shape and the football mentality and the football mindset.
Especially at that position, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't hear about guys that go away for 2 or 3 years and come back very often. Jim Plunkett did it when we were little. Google Jim Plunkett, kids. He had a really good time with the Raiders after a really bad time with the Patriots back in the day.
Don't do Brian Piccolo.
You just don't take 2 years off for any reason and expect to come back and be the guy that you were. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, Cephas as an injury. Does he make the team? It's a question from the chat, Rob Swift. No ties to the current regime. Could Trinity Benson make the team over? I don't think Benson's going to beat him out.
I think Benson and Cephas are fighting for the same roster spot, but it also requires, like, there's other people involved in that too. So let's go through the receiving pecking order real quick. Amon-Ra, Chark. Yeah. Jamo's in, Josh Reynolds. There's your four. Mm-hmm. Those four are going to catch 95% of the passes that are thrown to wide receivers this year, mm-hmm. if not 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, so then you're getting to the Cephas, Javon McKinley. Khalif Raymond is back. I happen to think that Khalif is there for being a return man, but mm-hmm. you know, he proved me wrong last year. He could prove me wrong again, and God bless him. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a legit deep, like, he can fly.
Yeah.
He and Williams together, put them on opposite sides on the outside. Yeah. Good luck playing single high against that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing about Cephas, though, he wasn't drafted by this team, but I'm gonna tell you what you have in him. They saw him in camp. They saw him early in the season, and he was the guy that they thought was going to help carry this team when they didn't have anybody. Right. Him and Tyrell Williams were the two guys that were going to carry this team last year that they were putting their money on to not absolutely make this thing fail. So they have, much like Sean Dion Hamilton, they have a little bit of belief in this guy. It's not like they're completely out on him or don't think he's the guy. He had their vote of confidence last year and wound up getting hurt. He comes back this year and plays. He has a role. If somebody else gets hurt, he can pop up into a role and be a quick, you know, patch in for somebody else we're missing. So I would not count Cephas out yet. And I believe
he's entering camp as number five or number six on the roster, and they're not keeping more than six. They might only keep five.
Yep.
He's got to be healthy. And again, the dynamic of him being the big target on the outside, they seem to be getting away from that a little bit. Like, they wanted somebody that offers a little bit more. That's Josh Reynolds. That's Khalif Raymond with his speed and return skills. And one of the issues that you have when you're a reserve at any position, but especially tight end, linebacker, wide receiver, cornerback, safety, you've got to play special teams. Cephas isn't great on special teams. And that's good. I went through this in Cleveland with Rashard Higgins. Like, why isn't he playing more? Like, well, he's not good on special teams. Like, that's one of the reasons why he struggled to get more run. And that's something that Cephas is going to have to improve on. But he's certainly on the roster bubble. You will see him when myself, when Eric Schlitt, when Ben Raven, when Justin Rogers are all writing our roster players on the bubble, X number of player Lions that are on the bubble. Quintez Cephas will be in every single one of those, I guarantee you.
Yeah. I'm trying.
And those come in July as we're leading into training camp.
I don't know why I'm having a trouble. This is a big name. And I want to say Terrell Owens, but it's not Terrell Owens. Who's the big wide receiver we had? Anquan Boldin. Thank you. Yeah. I had to look it up. Anquan Boldin. What about Cephas playing kind of that Boldin role? Can he come inside as a bigger guy and muscle some people around? I don't know that he can, right? I don't know that he can. He's not a fast guy, so he has a little opportunity there. He's not
quick either, and that's his issue.
Yeah, that's true. But playing against a linebacker, he severely outmatches him, right? I mean, size-wise, ability. Yeah. I mean, his speed isn't going to be a detriment at that point. Be interesting to see if that's a guy that they could use.
It wouldn't shock me if they get him in the preseason and they showcase him in like the second preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And like another team that has an injury or their rookie isn't working out or whatever, and they flip him for like a conditional sixth round pick. Exactly. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yep.
And as the chat comes up, Tom Kennedy come in. He has got a chance to be. He's also competing for the return job. From my understanding, it's him, Godwin Igwebuike, and Khalif Raymond that are fighting for the return jobs, and they will not use the same player for the punt and the kick returns. They like having different ones there. So there are two positions there. Kennedy is very quick in the slot. He's very physical. He's very good on special teams. That gives him an advantage over Cephas if you're looking at who's going to make the roster and who isn't.
Yeah. Brandon makes a good point. Cephas is on till Williams is ready. Here's the other part. The Lions have five wide receivers that run 4.3 40s. That kind of speed.
Khalif ran 4.29.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of speed you could put up with a Cephas. I mean, because who are they're gonna put? I mean, they're out of fast guys, right? You know what I mean? I mean, who are they gonna cover them with at that point? So there is mismatches created with the other guys you have in the field as well. So yeah. I don't want to beat them up, but I think he has a shot.
He's got an uphill battle to make the roster, in my opinion.
I see him an option of being grabbing a trade or a draft pick.
They don't have a lot from the undrafted class. I know they got the guy from Tulsa who's a strict slot receiver, and I still haven't, unfortunately, watched him enough to have a valid opinion on him. But like last year, remember again last year at this time, Jonathan Adams, everybody's like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. Well, he's now in the USFL. I'm doing well in the USFL, but showed up at rookie minicamp last year out of shape and with a poor attitude. And that's why he's in the USFL, not the NFL. But like Sage Surratt, and who's the other one? McKinley is the only one who's left. He's roughly the same size as Cephas, is quicker and certainly faster, but he hasn't really clicked on either. So there's going to be a battle for that last spot, but like the top five, they're set. And Cephas is not in that group. He's not, and he's not going to be.
Well, one of the things with Cephas though, is he may have some pain or anxiety or insomnia that comes out of this whole roster battle. He's going to go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com, cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com, get himself some of the good stuff. Well, no, he's not going to get the Delta 8. Well, he will get Delta 8 because they don't care about it anymore. He's going to go get high, and he's going to have a good time with some Delta 8. And he'll also take care of pain, anxiety, and insomnia. But if he thinks that drug test is coming and he thinks that the rules might change, things go the other way, he'll just get the regular old CBD. Or if he's sore and it's not a pain, anxiety, or insomnia thing, he's just got the achy muscles, he'll get the wonderful CBD cream that makes you feel grand with quick effect. It's great stuff. I pull it out every week. It's just sitting right there. CBD cream is the shite for sore muscles, I'm telling you. Have it over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast, just like Quintez Cephas. cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com and get yourself the greatest from Diamond CBD. High quality, independently laboratory tested, good stuff to take care of your brain, take care of your body, get you in a better spot. Brandon, great point. You got to figure that some of these guys that played last year are going to land on the practice squad and be backup players when injuries happen. Cephas is a prime candidate for that. I say that because I want to go to what Don said. I really wish we as Lions fans could get out of the mindset of what can we get for a player. If they're good enough to get something for them, we should just keep them. See Taylor Decker. Decker's a little bit different because his value at his position is just on a comparative advantage, just beyond thinking you're going to go trade him out for something. But when you sit here and think of Cephas, he's a guy that's young. He's eligible for the practice squad, and that wouldn't be a bad place to stick him, just knowing how injuries hit us last year.
Would have to get him through waiver claims, but with the glut of wide receivers that are out there, he probably gets through. I don't think he would get claimed, honestly. I really don't.
Yeah, I think so. Unless, I mean, he's a cheap contract, and those are hard to find in the wide receiver space. So a lot of stuff. Let's see. One of the surprise signings for me was Alex Anzalone, Captain Anzalone. Do you guys think someone is going to push for his starting role? Absolutely.
I hope so.
I absolutely think that will be a potential.
Just remember, Sean Dion Hamilton was ahead of him on the depth chart when he got hurt last summer.
Yep.
And that thrust Anzalone into a more prominent role. But also, last year they had three linebackers on the field, actually had four linebackers on the field quite a bit, as they were their linebacker usage was weird last year. It's going to be different this year. They're going to have one linebacker on the field more than they're going to have three linebackers on the field. My feeling is that when they do have the one on the field, they want it to be Derek Barnes. I don't know if it will be, but they want that. It would be nice if they let him rush the passer a little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah, Anzalone is certainly in for a run from Rodriguez, although Rodriguez is significantly smaller and does not look. People cite his PFF coverage stats to me all the time. Watch him. He's not a great cover linebacker. He was good in how Oklahoma State used him. They didn't ask him to do much in coverage. Like, this wasn't a guy who was carrying a tight end to the safety. This wasn't a guy who was blowing up screen passes. This wasn't a guy who was like covering the tight end on an out route. That's not what he did. He was very good at sitting in one spot and controlling that spot and that immediate area around him. Like, this is not a man-on-man coverage guy. He's not that. That's not who he is. If you think that's who he is, you're going to be disappointed. That's Sean Dion Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I have to, we're treating this a little bit like a mailbag show. And we'll do some of those. We'll do some with call-ins and everything coming up here as we move on. There's a lot going on, but we have a lot still to talk about. WMW2 picked up a pack of watermelon gummies. You go for it, brother. That's good stuff. It's good for the brain. Don H, the last piece I want to do, and then we'll move on to our next topic. I picked up a pack of watermelon. Wasn't the offense better before Quintez went down last year? And I don't know if Don's just setting me up, but when we had either Cephas or Reynolds in, and they played 50% or more of the snaps in the games, and that was nine games, we were two touchdowns versus 0.2 when they were in the game, 0.4 interceptions versus 0.8, so double the interceptions when they were not in the game. The passer rate was 30 points better, the rating. You got an air attempt of almost 2.75 yards further from the quarterback when either Cephas or Reynolds played 50% of the snaps. Your yards were 50 yards higher, almost 10% higher completion rate. All those things happen. Why? Because you had players in the game that made and gave Jared Goff an opportunity to do better. So, I mean, I expect a lot out of Goff this year.
There's also a corollary. They were also losing by a hell of a lot in a lot of those games. The San Francisco game is an example. What happens when you've got a big lead? You play prevent. Prevent is gold for receivers, specifically like Cephas, who don't have a lot of speed and don't get a lot of natural separation.
Yeah.
Like, they're, oh, he's going to catch the ball. We can go tackle him. We can't tackle Khalif Raymond on the other side because he's speedy. He's elusive. Like, that guy, he's 6'2". He can't move. I'm let him catch it and whack him.
Yeah.
Like that's part of that too.
Whack him. You know how I get.
Get your mind out of the store.
12. All right. Good, good, good. and we talk about, Donnie says, I was in a session, suggesting that Quinton is the same level as Taylor Decker, but he's the most honored. Taylor Decker gets so little love on this team. I mean, just for the fact that his wife is absolutely gorgeous, right? I mean, that's Gary Goff. Right? I mean, look at the Sandman. Do I have it here? The Sandman pick? Oh, yeah, here it is. Sorry, you're going to go away for a second.
You replace me with that, gladly. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Sandman looking at you. I mean, that's given.
I love that it looks like Sandman has a mullet there. I can picture him with a mullet.
All kinds of goodwill. I mean, his choice in gorgeous women should buy Decker all kinds of goodwill. He's a guy, I don't understand the people that want to see him go. I just,
because he went to Ohio State.
That's
people
not gotta why.
Get freak over that. That
can't be why. That would be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If people really wanted Decker traded,
have you been to Michigan recently?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's sad.
All right. Good interview.
I still get it. Okay. I'm repping Ohio U today. Ohio U and Western Michigan, they played in the MAC championship. I went to the game. It was great. I still, every single time I go to Meijer and I'm wearing Ohio U gear, somebody will come up to me and say, the Buckeyes. Screw your Buckeyes. Like, I didn't go to Ohio State. I went to Ohio. You're not playing Ohio. Michigan refuses to play Ohio. We've tried to schedule them. Ohio State also refuses to schedule. You're not playing the Bobcats. You're playing the Buckeyes. Get the freak over it. Like the dumbass Walmart Michigan fans drive me up the freaking wall here. Can't stand. You're not playing Ohio. You're playing Ohio State. Really? I know that they play at Ohio Stadium. Nobody freaking called. I went to high school in Columbus. Nobody calls it Ohio State. I've never heard it called Ohio Stadium in Ohio. It only comes from stupid Michigan people.
There's a reason. Thank you for letting me get that out. It's been building up inside me. TED Talk. There's a reason that real estate's affordable where you live. I'm just teasing. You live in a really nice area. All right, we'll keep going. Interviews today.
You know, Mike's almost my neighbor, so he can back me up on that. You go to the 6th Street Meijer in Holland, and you wear Ohio Bobcat gear. And two or three people wearing Michigan hats who clearly didn't go to Michigan for the education will come up to you and be like, please.
You've had enough of that shit.
We hear you.
Yeah.
We hear you.
Just because our colors are green and white, that should tip you off. That, like, maybe it confuses their anti-Sparty, anti-Bucket. I don't freaking know. But God, good Lord. One of the things that I actually really like about Jim Harbaugh is that he really put a clamp on that. He's like, we're playing Ohio State. We don't play Ohio. He said that in a press conference, and I wanted to go kiss him.
Oh, my.
There you go.
Okay. That's I'm better not. You're there. You're in with it. Let's see. So the Lions, there's so much going on. Who starts the new free agent safety or the drafted safety? Tracy Walker is going to start, right? Tracy Walker will start.
Deshaun Elliott and Kirby Joseph will both play a lot.
Elliott will start, and I have
is sort of up to the opponent.
I have a feeling Kirby Joseph, all three of them are going to start, to be honest with you, because you're going to have two linebackers out there. I just think that's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah, it's base nickel. It's whether you go heavy nickel or light nickel. Light nickel will be whoever's playing the slot, whether it's AJ Parker, Chase Lucas, Jeff Okuda, Will Harris could conceivably win that position. He could.
Yeah.
Will Harris is in the right spot on the depth chart. If the opponent is in 11 personnel, if they're in like 12 personnel, or you know they've got a slower inside, like if the Lions move Quintez Cephas inside, you're not guarding him with a cornerback, you're guarding him with a safety. So then you would have Joseph and Elliott and Walker all on the field as a starting lineup. So the whole starter is sort of dependent upon the matchup that the opponent rolls out.
Yep. All right.
And there's 20 other NFL teams are like that. That's not something that's unusual to Detroit.
Yeah. All right. We got to get moving.
Yeah, we do.
rookie
minicamp, right?
Not yet. We're still talking about the interviews. Amani Arawarie today. Loved him. Loves Detroit. Everybody who comes here loves Detroit. It's just the way it is. He wants to sign. I want to sign him. I think he got hosed by the Patricia regime. I think he started showing out last year what he's got. I think we're going to see Amani Arawarie turn into something pretty special here. Watch. I thought he would turn into something special for a long time. I didn't realize how bad the coaching was back in the Patricia years. Watch what he turns into this year. He also talked about Jerry, who's awesome. I got him on the horn right now. We're working time out to get together, have him on, because there's a couple of great questions we want to get talking about with him. Don't forget about seatbeltgang.com. Help some Lions charities we're working on, and it's Jerry's and our charity that we all kind of put together, and you'll see a lot of that really cool merchandise, everything from like a Bluetooth speaker to poker cards to sweet ass t-shirts. Really, really cool stuff there. Go help Detroit charities. We talked a little bit about what we're doing, trying to put some needy kids in seats at games and give them a great game experience. So it all comes out of the sales. Seatbeltgang.com. Check that out. We had Levi Onwuzurike there, looking good. He looked good. Seemed to have a little bit more muscle on the bone. Just talking to him, and right, you can't take a lot out of that. You got to see it. But just talking to him, I get a sense that he's going to be a lot more like the Anzarike we thought we were getting when we drafted him this year than the guy we wound up with last year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And more specifically, the guy that Brad Holmes thought he was getting and that Aaron Glenn thought he was getting.
But
he wasn't that last year. He's got a lot to prove.
For reals. DJ Chark came out, obviously a veteran, smart media guy, doesn't know the guys in the room that well, right? So he doesn't have a whole lot of bants going on, but he was just an abject, the absolute professional, just an absolute professional. Liked what he had. He had all the right answers, did all the things right. Came in the room, owned it. Like me some DJ Chark. Can't wait to see that personality start peeking out a little bit, though, because I think there's something good in there, you know? St. Brown came out. You know what I love about him? He does know everybody, and he had that same kind of intensity. And this is what I'll say about the St. Brown interview. And beyond the words, the intensity with which he spoke, you feel his passion when he's talking. You talk about what a Dan Campbell guy is. Close your eyes and listen to Amon-Ra St. Brown speak, and you will know exactly what a Dan Campbell
guy is. It's very easy to see why the Lions were very attracted to him in the draft process a year ago and why they're thrilled to have him. Like, that's easy. it is. It's almost like when a rock star is like getting ready to go on tour or something. Like, I'm so focused on this that's all I can think about. Like, I don't know what's going on in Ukraine. I don't know what's going on in Florida. I don't know what's going on with Supreme Court. I don't know what's going on in Canada. I don't know what's going on in my neighborhood. I just know what's going on right in front of me, and that's football, and that's all I care about. And that's Amon-Ra.
Yeah. He's got it. And Jamal Williams out there is the opposite but the same. The guy is light. He's smooth. He is all personality. And we saw it last year after we signed him. He started in training camp every day playing catch with the people in the stands. He did it every game and warmups beforehand. The guy enjoys people. He's a super, super hyper extrovert, funny, really interactive. Just love his personality. But he said it, and this is where, you know, all the fun and the games, he said it too. I just want a ring. We're going to get the ring. Our attitude's about the ring.
Yeah.
We're here to play football. I love football. You cut through the personality and stuff, and you're getting the exact same message out of him.
The headline I had to write was Jamal Williams says bleep hard knocks. But the takeaway is the correct one that you just said. It's like, I want a ring this year. He said that.
Yep.
Like, he believes that it can happen.
Yep.
If that belief isn't there, it ain't going to happen. It doesn't mean it will. But if that belief isn't there with the players, there's not a chance in the world that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I like seeing that he's got that. Like, again, he is the clown prince of the Lions. Like, that he embraces that role. He likes that role. He's good at it. That's who he naturally is. But he can be serious.
Right.
And I appreciated his take on that a lot today.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I love him. But this goes back to what we talked about that leadership and what's going on in these meetings pieces and phases. They talk about the core. This is the core of the team forming the personality of the team. You're going to see him in the opening of training camp, and you're going to see Dan Campbell go to the front of the room, and he might talk about kneecaps or any of those kinds of things, right? It'll be a Campbellism, I'm sure, right? But what's going to happen is the foundation for all those things are happening right now, and they're building that mentality with the guys in the locker room now, because when the rookies come in tomorrow for rookie camp and they start working together and see each other, or we're working side by side a little bit, but not on the field together. And then they get on the field together. This is the chance for those rookies to see what is the mentality and the attitude of this team. And it's formed in the story, you know, the writing prompt, if you will, of the story has been formed and set in the weeks leading up to today. And I think they probably hit it today, right before the, before the press conference, because they did the press conference and the guys left. And then tomorrow the rookies are here for camp to start. So I think that was the last time they had a chance to hit it, to bring the points home and make sure that everybody's on the same page and that they've got that put together. So I think that's kind of the mentality of where things are from the kind of inside the building, just from what I can read, the tea leaves I can see.
You will hear from other Lions personnel this weekend. I can't say when or who, but you will. You've been given a media advisory.
It's like a winter storm one advisory. Are you guys planning on getting MCDC on the pod? Anytime he'll be here. Yeah, we're working on it. Look, it's not an easy thing to do, and they're very, very, very careful at the time.
The Lions PR and media relations staff is phenomenal at doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it's something that Dan is necessarily like. I don't think it's anything personal. I just think that he's probably has better things to do with his time than spend an hour with us chuckleheads.
Just look at where he is. He's not on, and the same thing with Brad Holmes. He did a podcast. Which one did he do? Well, he did Dimitrov's podcast, right? They're not on, you know, Campbell. He did a podcast. What was it? McAfee, right? I mean, it's not like they're on with some of the local ones. Now, we also see Dan talk with season ticket holders. Well, that's true, but that's a little bit of a sales thing. You're trying to sell season tickets. We'd be happy, Dan, to help sell some season tickets if you want. But I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. It's just that, you know, the right timing and the schedules and everything else have to work out. So, you know, it's not a no, but it's something we'll work towards. As the longest running podcast and most successful and number one podcast in the Detroit Lions space, he'd probably consider it. We'll see. I think with a lot of things going on this year, we'll see how it goes on. We'll see Seatbelt Gang. That we got to get that to take off. We got some national media coverage. It's a good time to make a play like that. So we'll see how things play out. It's a good opportunity.
We'll be having some different guests this offseason. Mm-hmm. One other Lions player has committed to being on with us. Chris knows who that is. Yep. People in the Slack actually know who that is, too. And a couple of national media members who will be in town later this summer have already told me, hey, I want to come on your podcast. And like, sweet. Yeah, please do.
Do it.
You're significantly higher up the media food chain than I am. So please come join us. So
I wish I had cases.
We'll have a couple of those people around training camp time.
I wish I had cases. Nom, drop. There you go. All right. So there we go. I'll keep going. So the interviews were great. If you haven't seen them, they're on the Lions YouTube. Good interviews. Yeah. Check them out.
And I have to go back and rewatch Amani's because he had a quote today that I have to make sure that I get right before I publish it.
Yep. All right. Rookie mini camp. Let's get into that a little bit. What is it and what can you expect? You could read all about it at Amazon.com. Just go to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can get yourself some books. You can get yourself some materials. You can get yourself some cameras. You can get yourself some computers. You can get anything you ever need from Amazon.
You can get Pat Kerwin's excellent book, Keep Your Eye Off the Ball.
There you go.
One and two.
Yeah.
Old friend of the show, Pat Kerwin. Old friend of Senior Bowl. God, everybody.
I love Pat Kerwin. Pat was awesome. Amazon at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And all your needs. Head on over there. Help support the show. And take money out of Bezos' pocket. That guy running the Washington Post and all the cloud materials that your companies are using and making.
I don't like his phallus rocket, Chris. Oh, I just don't.
God. Giving his wife billions, his ex-wife billions, and not even noticing it. Take money away from that man and support your podcast. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. What is rookie minicamp, Riz? I'm so confused. Why wouldn't it just go to regular old phase two with the rest of the chaps?
Rookie minicamp is for it's for the rookies. It is also a chance for a lot of tryout and unsigned players to get in front of the team. My understanding is that there will be 23 or 24 players in Detroit this weekend, starting tomorrow, Thursday. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this on Thursday, they're there now. I know the future. Whoa. we will get a list of all the players that are there at some point. The media is only allowed there one day. We are allowed there Saturday. I unfortunately can't make it. I will be in Indianapolis this weekend with my son doing big time basketball tournament. So I won't be there, but I will have trusted associates who will get me a list of all the players that are participating. it is not, it's not your high school football practice that's going on. It is a run through. I don't want to call it a walkthrough because it they're not technically walking. They are technically running at like at least half speed. Yeah. There's some urgency to it. They are, I will tell you this from, because I was there last year, they are getting coached at hard. It was my first exposure to Aubrey Pleasant was a year ago at rookie minicamp, and he got on a guy for not processing the play that he was told to process, and he was gone after the weekend. He did not come back.
How much playbook are they eating right now in the rookie minicamp?
Oh, that's all they've got in their body right now. It is learning the playbook, understanding where do I have to be. Let's say I'm a tight end. I need to know where I go when this play is called, when this coverage scheme is called, when this blocking scheme is called, when this audible is called. Where do I have to be? That's all that they're learning right now. And they're going to go out and show that they have the ability to digest the playbook. They're going to show that they have the ability to take coaching, that they respond well to the coaching, that they're good teammates. They're not, you know, bad mouthing a guy on the way back to the huddle. If you knock a guy down, you're not supposed to touch him. If you happen to knock him out, you damn well better help him back up. Mm-hmm. That happened last year. That's another person who a lot of people thought might make the team, who was gone very quickly. He didn't have the interpersonal teammate skills that were required to play in the NFL. And he's currently out of football. And that says a lot. That happens. That one of the things that this is a, like, I can't speak to it because I was never a professional athlete, but I went from high school to college. There were different things that flew at the high school level that don't fly at the college level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whether it's in whatever sport, I played volleyball. You can't do certain things that you got away with in high school in college. You just can't. And it's exponential, that value, when you go from college to the pros. And one of the things that they're seeing is who can make that distinction and who can't. And the guys who can't, they ain't gonna be here.
yeah, that's absolutely it.
They'll wind up in Houston or Jacksonville because those teams tend to collect those types of players. Arizona collects a lot of them too.
Yeah. Oh God.
They just happen to have a lot of talent.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Anon hits it. Don't fall in love with any players right now. There's a ton of competition in camp. Five guys you think will be on the team in September won't make it out of camp. Learn to love the process of weeding out the weak.
Just a couple things to look for in the cut department. There are still three kickers on the team. That's not tenable long term. There are also only three quarterbacks on the team. Now, as much as we have talked about David Blau and Tim Boyle not being adequate, you do need three. You really need four to run practices the way that the Lions want to run practice. So I think there's a tryout player in this weekend. I don't know who it is, but I've been told that there is a quarterback that will be there. They will be looking for a fourth quarterback, and you will probably see them sign a quarterback. It doesn't mean that they're dissatisfied with Tim Boyle or David Blau. It means that they needed a camp body who can throw. Because they don't want their quarterback coach and their who was the guy last year who knew, like, he used to be a quarterback in college and he played a little bit of quarterback in practice because they were in a pinch. Like, they don't
want Randall to L. That Randall L. was playing quarterback in
practice. He did. Somebody else did too. I want to say it was a special teams assistant or something like that. Yep. I don't know. I'm blanking on it.
But this is one more thing from Anon that's really it. Part of it no longer being a joke franchise, we're going to churn guys and only the best get to stay. This is going to be the part where Lions fans, especially after the Patricia, people are not used to this. We're going to let go of talent that's going to go elsewhere and do well. We're going to probably hold on to a guy or two that doesn't perform as well as someone we let go. It's not necessarily one player was better. There's schematic fits. There's all kinds of other things that happen. Oh God, who was the guy from Senior Bowl that we had that we drafted that never played and then went over to Philly and then turned into nothing? He was in the Senior Bowl, right?
Wide receiver.
Yeah.
From Old Dominion. Mick. I'm looking at him. I can see him.
I feel like he's got a Mick in his
life. Oh, my God. Travis Fulgham.
Travis Fulgham. That's it. Yeah. I mean, everyone was like, we shouldn't have let him go. And then where is he, right? He just, it's, don't get too into it. And don't get too broken by that. I mean, it's going to happen. There's going to be wins. There'll be some losses. the wins you want to outnumber the losses, but there will be. Thank you, Algus, for the Travis Fogle.
Like we talked about earlier in the show, when players leave the Lions and they make other teams, that's good for the Lions. Yep. That's not a bad thing. Yep. That's a good thing. That means that they're identifying NFL caliber talent. That's not something that their predecessor regimes did all that well.
And I will say the one thing that people should really, really think about is, I mean, it's May now, and I only said it once earlier, but put yourself in January of this year. Where were you a year ago? Where were you mentally a year ago? You were still touched by the Patricia regime right in your fandom. You were showing people on the doll. It was bad news, right? Now we're talking kneecaps, and you're like, well, I can maybe I'll take a little sip of the Kool-Aid because I like this Dan Campbell character, and he seems good, but I'm not so sure. And then we had the first part of the season, and people were like, no, I've been burned before. I'm not buying it. And then we rolled through the end, and we saw some good stuff. And now people across the board, Lions are getting A's and A pluses and A minuses and B pluses on their draft, making bold moves, just like Brad said. The word he said, he's going to make bold moves. We got J-Mo. How? From a bold ass move where we fleeced the Vikings. I think we're seeing a lot of really competent stuff right now out of this front office. And I got to laugh at like Bears fans, right? Because they're at the other side of the world on this stuff. They got to rebuild, and they're going to be playing a tough team in the Detroit Lions. I think we'll see as training camp comes around and as the preseason comes around, who stays healthy and what we have. But my, oh my, this could really be a surprising and fun year in the NFC North.
Isn't it interesting, the narrative that's going around now, that the Bears are not surrounding Justin Fields with the proper talent? And it's so much like Detroit circa 2010, 2011, where they had Calvin Johnson and not much else on the offense, Brandon Pettigrew.
Well, last year with Goff, Sheffler. Even. I mean, it's like, oh, they don't put the people there, they can't win. You're right.
Like,
and they're not.
Like I am still a Justin Fields believer. I think he's going to be very good. I think he's going to be a problem in Chicago. I really do. Mm-hmm. But they are not helping him the way that they need to help him. And I say that from watching Matthew Stafford languish with inadequate talent around him for a very long time. And I will say that from watching when Deshaun Watson got to Houston and they had to reshuffle a few things. And I will say that from a Cleveland standpoint. Like, and I have a thing, if you're listening to this on Wednesday night or if you're watching live, thank you. Hit the like button, subscribe. But also, in the morning, I will have a piece on Baker Mayfield and the potential for him to join the Detroit Lions. And spoiler alert, he ain't coming. But it's, I watched the Browns not do right by Baker in a lot of ways. And I see that going on in Chicago too. And it frustrates me because I was a Justin Fields fan and I wanted the Lions to draft him at number 7 instead of Penei Sewell. And I'm still not off that position, by the way. And that doesn't mean anything about Penei. That's how strongly I felt about Justin Fields as a quarterback prospect. I think he's going to be very, very, very good. But the Bears are not helping him be very, very, very good. They're helping him maybe be better than Mitchell Trubisky, and that's about it. Mm. And he's got to be a hell of a lot better than that.
He's that much
beating the Lions.
He's that much better of a quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky, but
yeah,
he's never going to read his potential. He's never going to read his potential, reach his potential in Chicago. I have a sense, I have a feeling that they're going to be out on him at some point. Because he can't carry a load of bricks and he's going to go somewhere else. And then you're going to see what Justin Fields really is.
He's going to go to Miami and take over for Tua and win multiple playoff games.
I think he's going to be a problem the same way Matthew Stafford was a problem, but eminently that team is going to be beatable. And that's where I think the situation is. Yeah. It's going to be in Chicago.
That's very correct.
And that's not a knock on Fields at all.
On the Baker Mayfield front, there is renewed conversation about the Dolphins possibly like getting dissatisfied with Tua after he threw the pass that might still be in the air, hanging up there, and would want to get out of that. And Baker Mayfield still being the best quarterback on the market.
Oh, that was a 10-yarder from Tua then?
Could go to Miami. There are whispers of that coming from the 216 area code. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I will say, Brandon, Justin Fields will be a 3-year veteran when the Lions have their new rookie quarterback starting. That is very true. If they were in the division, I would think Justin's a target for the Lions, to be honest with you, as they work towards the end of his contract. Chicago gets a little bit jumpy. I just, he's going to go somewhere else. He isn't going to come here, but boy.
They can take over for Kirk in Minnesota. That's about the right timeline, too.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay, so rookie minicamp. Anything extra or else to expect in rookie minicamp, Riz?
Just you're going to see, hopefully nobody gets hurt. But you're just going to see a lot of guys that, you know, try out here. And then there's the next session is the mandatory minicamp, which is in June. But there is another OTA session or two between. There's two between there, right? I think. I don't know. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
OTAs?
You'll see a lot of guys who are here that don't, whatever reason, the Lions just don't want them, will wind up signing or being in that next camp somewhere else and vice versa. Like there will be players that aren't here this weekend who will be coming in to the Lions the next time just to kick the tires. That's common. It doesn't mean anything about the Lions. It doesn't mean anything about the players other than that they just didn't fit together. Don't read more into it than what needs to be.
Yep. All right. So I'll talk about the dates. Tomorrow, May 12th, the schedule is officially released. The one thing you can pencil in right now is February 12th in Arizona. The Lions will play an AFC team. OTAs are coming up May 24th through 26th, June 1st through 3rd, and June 13th through 16th, the OTA workouts will happen.
That's right.
After the 16th, right around the 15th-ish, that's when we're going to find out when training camp is, somewhere on the 13th, 14th, 15th, somewhere in there.
We'll find out. The NFL actually announced that they're going to announce it in that week.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Well, that's what they so they're going to announce it then.
The announcement about the announcement.
When we know that, we will know when the training camp party is. It all just plays right off of that. Starting tomorrow, you're going to hear an announcement of when the St. Jude 24-hour party is, because that's all based on the same stuff. And, you know, we'll see if anybody else tries to build theirs right around us like they always do. But we'll see. So we'll do that. May 23rd through 25th is the spring league meeting. Don't tell me they don't. You know it. They try to make stupid excuses to you saying, oh, no, well, we don't think it'll be just like theirs. It was just like ours. May 23rd through 25th, the spring league meeting, and June 7th through 9th, mandatory mini camp. That's everything. That's what's going on with the off season. And then it gets into the dark, dark days of June and early July. Riz.
One quick thing about the mandatory mini camp. You will see a lot of veterans that are currently unsigned sign right after that because they don't want to be at mandatory mini camp. Right. That's something that I talked about with Bobby Carpenter this morning about Jadeveon Clowney. He ain't signing before mandatory minicamp. He didn't want any part of that. He's a veteran. He doesn't need that. He will sign with Cleveland after that. He's not going to Detroit. Why I was just laughing, for those of you who are watching, the Miami Dolphins fired their video coordinator today, who put out that video to us throwing the
dog. Truth hurts, baby.
They fired him. They've already posted the job.
Yep.
Tua's getting people fired in not even rookie minicamp. Can't believe how many people freaking wanted that guy. Oh,
all right. Let's.
He's not good, folks. He's not. He's just not.
Our schedule, just so you know, and just really quick while you're out there, hit the like button. You got 250 of you out there. Hit the like button. We appreciate it when you do that. It helps us out. Hit subscribe too, and the bell. You get your little name on the scroll down below. You can do super chat. That works too. But we love it when you guys help support us and help beat that algorithm. And it helps us be better. It actually really does. All right. Just so you guys know, our schedule, the week of the 23rd, we're going to be out. We're taking a week off, but we have some ideas for content to drop throughout the week so you guys aren't left without us. We know how much you love us and how much we love you. So we're going to do some extra work to put that stuff together for you guys. Also, the 13th through 17th of June, we're out. I'm out there for sure. And Riz is as well, so that's not going to happen. I got to go back to the 23rd to 27th. I may grab somebody who's not Riz as a co-host and do a show that week, and we may actually turn out the next week, Riz, just drop some content that week just because I've got some other things going on. We just have to see how all this plays. There's so much shenanigans going on with the summer and work and everything else.
This is a busy summer for both of us. Yes. You have a son going to college. I have a son going to 11 college basketball camps in the month of June. So I will be here, there, and everywhere.
As a matter of fact, support your doctor-to-be with a super chat. Pre-med starts this year. Anything you can do to help pay the way. And,
wow.
Yeah. I got 13 years of expenses, so anything you can do to help. And then, of course, the week of the 4th of July, we shall be off because Riz is going to be on a wicked drunken bender, and I will probably be a Betty Ford, according to Garrett.
My wife's birthday is the 4th of July, so I tend to celebrate her that day. But, yeah, during the week.
What does that mean?
What do you want it to mean? Better question, what does she want it to mean?
That's what it's all about.
UDFAs.
We were going to go in on UDFAs this week, and we put that on pause because of some of the other stuff going on in some of the other chat.
We want to see who actually makes it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys who were here this week who won't be here next week, and it could, in fact, be the dude from what's his name, Jarvis from Michigan State, Easy from TCU via Memphis. Like, those guys sign bonuses. Like, the Lions don't have a problem like writing off $100,000 if the guy sucks or just doesn't fit.
No,
like, they don't have a problem doing that.
So we got that. We also have Jerry Jacobs coming up in the next couple of weeks, so you don't want to miss that. We're going to talk. This is the idea. Is there's a couple things we're going to talk. Seatbelt Gang. Let me see. We got topics that he and I were chatting about. We're going to talk Seatbelt Gang. We're going to talk about Hard Knocks. We're going to talk about the mind of an undrafted free agent at this point in the year. What's going on? What's going through the heads? What are they doing? And what makes one successful, which he'll know, versus what doesn't, which he's probably seen. So we'll be able to kind of work through some of that. We'll talk about his recovery and some of the other guys as well. Jerry's the best.
He's there. He's in Detroit this week. He posted a picture of himself on Instagram on the practice field in Allen Park. Good to see him.
He lives
by the way, wasn't wearing an e-brace.
No. He's running. I don't know what you see at practice because I wasn't there, but I know he's running. And he lives in Detroit. This is the thing about Jerry.
This is home.
Yep. He is bought in. He is there. He committed. And we talked about it before. It was like $3,500 was his guaranteed salary when he signed originally a year ago. Think about that, what your mindset is to pick up everything you own, jack across the states, and show up somewhere for $3,500 and maybe some more. Pretty crazy. He turned it into about $800,000, so that's not bad. But
$895,000 he will make this year. Good for him.
Good time to bet on yourself.
He's going to earn every dang penny of it, and he's going to earn a lot more than that if he plays the way he did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Love us some Jerry. So stick with us for that. There's some really, really good content coming from with him and give you guys some good updates from the inside. Jerry's always the best. We'll continue to work on some of the other things as well, the interviews. We'll bring in some coaches. You know, we talk about how things get quiet. We've got some friends around the team, and we'll have them in there, and what they'll do is ball drag across to Cliff D like everybody does. He gargles them. He can't stop. He can't drop. He just won't. Can't stop, won't stop, that kind of thing. Love you in the chat there, Cliff. All right. So with that, remember, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You get access to the Slack chat. It's not like we go to Cliff's job and slap the sailor's cocks out of his mouth. I don't know what he's doing in the chat. It's crazy. But you get access to the Slack chat if you join us on Patreon. It's a great place to go. Patreon.com.
See video free.
/Detroit Lions Podcast. Brandon, thank you for the reminder. I have his number now straight. Bill Keenest, we'll get him on, the Lions team historian. A lot of good
that
stuff
would
on
be
him.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I love him. He's
a Bill.
Yep. So Patreon, good way to go, and you can talk about all the gargling that Cliff D does. Head over to Twitter at @DETLionsPodcast. @DETLionsPodcast. Riz at Jeff Risden. It's that easy. I mean, how did you not follow him already? My goodness. At Jeff Risden and at @DETLionsPodcast. We're really kind of getting close. Like I say, I don't look at that stuff too often, but I kind of checked my profile to make sure I didn't want to update. I want to check it again real quick. Yeah, we're really close to 5,000. If you guys are on Twitter and you get a chance, push us over. It'd be nice. It's a nice big round number. I appreciate the followers if you were to do that for us. Also, I'll give us a call on Skype. All one word, the account is Detroit Lions Podcast. Detroit Lions Podcast. Leave a message. We'll put that message on the air. Or you can call us on the Lions line at 929-335-4667. Hit the like button. Don't forget that like button. Don't forget to subscribe. get your name on the screen, hang out with us, and go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast, like we said, or subscribe on the YouTube, and we will pop up in your ears and your notifications. Well, wait, excuse me. Riz, I didn't mean to do that. What will we do if they hit the subscribe button on YouTube and on the other thingy?
We can come into your ear holes automatically.
There we go. There we go. I'm sorry. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. 53 years. Oh, awesome.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems. And Cliff is waiting for my comeback, but he's going to have to scrape his mom's tongue if he wants that. It's because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit Connection.
Oh, God. That's glorious.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.